Five geeks, five opinions, one podcast. Nerdgasm Noir Network, where we do nerd shit.
Gas Noir Network. Welcome, everyone. I am JP, and with me I have Maria and Melissa. Hey, ladies.
Hey.
Okay, so let's do the business. So once again, thank you, everyone, for your donations and, you know, just repping Nergas Noir through all the social networks such as, you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything. So you can find us on Facebook, where, you know, I think only Maria goes. You can find us on Twitter, on Google Plus. You can get our show by subscribing to our RSS feed. We're also on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher Radio. We are on Google Play or Google Music, whatever they're calling it right now. So at BOL Traveling, they ask, "Hey, ladies, love the show. Was wondering if you have seen HBO Asia's Half Worlds. Also, could you do a show on Hugo Puppies?" So I know I have not seen Half Worlds yet. Has anyone else have?
I have not.
No. How do you get to HBO Asia?
Right. That's the only problem. Will they show up? Because if it's not on the American version, I don't know how you can get the HBO Asia's one. So, also do the show on Hugo Puppies. I mean, I think we already kind of talked about Hugo Puppies in one of our previous shows.
Yeah, we did it last year, and I think they're going to be a thing that comes up every year. I think we can do a show after the awards are done and talk about what we've read and what we, you know what I'm saying, how our feelings are.
Yeah, that sounds like
and
a cool
idea. And then make fun
idea.
Of them. I don't mind making fun of them every year for a few minutes. Like, it warms
right.
my heart.
Right, you know. I mean, them. And honestly, they're, like, I'm just going to be honest. I feel like they are a non-motherfucking factor. So, I mean, we can, but it'd probably be a minute to make fun of them and then move on to actual stuff.
So, okay, I like this idea that we have now. So, thank you. Because I'm kind of looking like in, okay, we won't go into it now. This is how we get off on tangents. We'll wait after the Hugos and then we're going to have some shit to say. Let's say that, okay?
All right. So, for today's show, we have, like, a couple different topics. We're going to talk about, of course, the passing away of Prince. We're probably going to get into Sleepy Hollow, talk about the big news about Doctor Who, and then lastly, we're going to discuss, of course, Lemonade. So, I guess let's get into the meat of the show. So last week, we got terrible news about Prince passing away, and he has, I know for me personally, he has been a big part of my life. It just growing up listening to Prince songs and getting albums, and he just has been a huge part of my teen years and my early adult years. And I just remember hearing certain songs and being in certain phases of my life and how it kind of helped me through, especially some messed up stuff with, you know, relationships with friends. Ladies, if somebody else want to speak about, you know, how Prince has been, a special part in your lives.
Well, I remember, like, when Batman came out, the first Batman movie. And it was a huge hit. It was like, you know, just pop culture phenomenon, you know. And Prince was a big part of that because he had the song where he was half Joker, you know. And I remember seeing the video as a kid and, like, thinking it was so cool. But then also, like, knowing that I probably shouldn't be watching it. Right? Because it was kind of naughty. But I just loved it. And, like, even, you know, not just him, but all the artists that he would mentor and sponsor and work with, you know, Janelle Monáe and Sheila E. and Liv Warfield. Like, they're all so great. So he was a huge supporter of, you know, other people's art as well. And it's not really, there's so much about that.
For me, I would say, I don't know that I've had any, like, real special breakout moments for Prince. Like, my favorite Prince memory is just riding in the car with my sister and singing Diamond and Pearls, because it was like a bonding thing for us. And that song, I know there are tons of songs that to jam out to, but that's one of the best ones that just lets you rip and go for it. But for me, Prince has been like sort of something that's just all, like, someone that's just been there, you know, like, you can't imagine without it. It's not maybe something that I listen to every day, but when I needed a certain mood, when I needed a certain, like, just, or when I needed to perform alone somewhere in a mirror, like, get super dramatic on Beautiful Ones, some shit like that. That was Prince for me. So, like, and I'm finding out more and more about him now that he's passed, and I think that it's so cool and amazing, and it's one of those things that I felt like I might have taken for granted. Like, it wasn't like I would pass Prince, like, anytime I'd pass a Prince story, I'd read it. Like, I'm not just gonna not do it. Even when he came on the SNL when I wasn't watching SNL, and I was like, well, we're gonna do this then. And he was the best part of that episode, because for some reason Chris Rock did not come through. like, at all. But it's still, I'm one of those people that's still like, is Prince dead? Are you sure? Sure, Prince not dead. So I'm like, on one level, you know it, but on another level, it's just like, damn, Prince is dead. You know? So that's my Prince.
Yeah, I kind of had that same reaction because I was like, it's Prince. He's supposed to be like forever. It's like, it was straight up like denial for when I first heard the news. Just thinking back on the first time that I heard or even seen Prince was when the video for Kiss, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, hold on. Now, mind you, I'm young. And I should not be watching late night videos without supervision, but that video came on and I was like, I'm having feelings that I should not have. but it's Prince. So, and it was just like, I freaking loved that song, Kiss. And the video was just, I don't know. The video just made me pay attention to what he was doing, just like, oh my god, this is like somebody who music I need to take notice. And just, and it's just so weird about how, like, you like you were saying earlier, Melissa, how you just can't imagine that, like, this artist is not gonna be around for the long haul. So,
and it's like, what do you mean? Prince was here before I was here. He had his own career. That never really ended. And then he helped all the careers of all these other people. So his influence and sound is like literally everywhere. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Right. I mean, it's impossible. It's a trick. Is he like, he could be like totally pranking us. Are you sure he's not pranking us? So, yeah.
Well, when it was first reported, it was reported through TMZ. So I heard that shit and kept it moving. I was like, man, okay, we're good. And it wasn't until, like, I think a few hours later, that was like, oh. But But in short, fuck TMZ as well.
Man, okay.
Fuck them.
I am tired of TMZ being the first one to outbreak when a singer or favorite artist is, you know, passes away. Because I'm starting to think they're the Grim Reaper right about now. So I don't want to hear nothing from them no more.
Me neither. I saw this thing about Little Richard today, and I don't even want to. Like, nope.
Well, it wasn't from TMZ, so I'm just like, whatever.
They tried to come for Tina Turner.
Like, what?
What?
Yes. Talking about Tina at a hospital. Girl, listen. Stop playing. Like, just...
Like, please. Please stop.
Did you guys... And I know I couldn't be the... I don't know if I was the only person that did this or not. But did you guys... do any trials to Tidal?
No.
I did, and when that 29th day comes, I will cancel it.
I downloaded iTunes.
Wait, so is he on iTunes?
No, Prince is not on iTunes. But Beyonce is. So.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I got Tidal because... It's the only one that had the only streaming service that had Prince discography.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'll just buy the albums that I have missing. So I don't need to stream everything. So the only thing I think I don't have, because I got the greatest hits, so I might just say F it and just buy the whole albums for the that's on the greatest hits. Because, mm-hmm. like, a lot of the B-side songs are pretty good, too. So, and also, I don't have... He had a... when did he put out that album? But I don't have that one, his latest one. So, I will be getting... I'll be doing that. So, I have it in my wish list. So, I guess I might as well go ahead and, you know... finish it out then.
Yeah.
So, but
so I saw all the places that turned their lights purple. There was a couple buildings in Atlanta that did that. You know, the next day I wore purple. And this lady stopped me at work and just started singing Purple Rain.
That's not weird.
Yeah, it took me a little bit to start trying to listen to his music. Because the whole day, when they announced that he passed away, I couldn't really listen to any Prince songs. And then later that night, I was like, okay, let me try to listen to, you know, a happy, upbeat one. And strangely, I thought I was going to, like, be super sad and stuff like that. But honestly, it made me feel better in a strange way. Because I realized, just listening to each of the songs, how much his music meant to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he gave a great gift of himself and of his artistry and of his creativity to us. And that... honestly, that's the least we can ask for him, and he gave us more than enough of himself. That, like, I feel like he's gonna be remembered forever anyway, mm-hmm. and that's the best legacy that we can give him, is just remembering his music, remembering what he stood for, and just, you know, remember that this was a human being who gave up himself through music. And wanted to not only share his creativity and his thoughts and his feelings, but also wanted to make us feel something through his music. I mean, that's really all you can ask.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing. He's a legend.
And really believed in service. Did you guys see that clip with Van Jones?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm not surprised at all, but I was like, whoa.
Yeah. No, over the clip, basically it talks about how he would do these shows in Baltimore, you know, New Orleans and different cities, and try to figure out how to give to local organizations on the ground, you know, dealing with whatever traumatic thing that was happening in the city at the time, and spending time and money and, you know, finding these groups. But he, because he is of his religion, what is it, at Seventh-day Adventist? No.
Jehovah Witness.
Jehovah Witness, excuse me. You know, they're not allowed to talk about the works that they do, so he would just go on and put on a show and do everything else without talking about it. The only thing that puzzles me is that he did not have a will.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's going to his sister and his surviving family members, right?
Well, they have to go to court for it, you know. But then there's all those issues with the vaults of music and everything, and
yeah. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that they tore open the vault.
That's what I heard. I heard there were like three vaults.
Yeah, and I'm just like, that is so, that's disrespectful as hell.
Right. I don't disagree. But again, if he had had a will with any kind of directions, you're too rich for this. You should have had a will.
Well, you know what? Some people, you know, they always, it's one of, like, Williams, people always think they have time.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, I'm not going to fault him for that. Because you always think you have time to do it. So.
Right.
Does anybody else have a Prince song going through their head right now?
I have a Janelle Monáe song going through my head, to be honest. So close, but no cigar.
I do have a Prince song in my head right now.
What's yours?
It's Kiss, because I mentioned it. So... So now it's in my head. Mm-hmm. It don't have
mine...
to be. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your Kiss moment.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So mine is When You Were Mine. Cause it's so fucking weird.
I like that song.
It should
too.
Be a sad song, but it's one of those, you ain't shit, but I love you. Like, you used to wear my clothes. At one point, he talks about how she didn't even change the sheets. Like,
what? I know. You'd be like, wait, did he just... You'd be like, wait, what did he just... Oh, my God. Why do you still want her?
I like his weird songs.
And I always did like If I Was Your Girlfriend. So.
Oh man.
Yes.
Perfect weird Prince song. Like.
So like there's a story that when he first wrote that, he was trying to he had an idea about an album where he do songs from the perspective of a woman. I don't. So that was one of the songs that he wrote.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
That's nice. I kind of took it on his face. Like, especially when he get towards the end where he talk about, you know, where we just take off all our clothes and lie together.
Yeah. Yeah. So but yeah, I would be really interested to hear the story behind some of the songs that he wrote, just to kind of get an idea of his frame of mind when he was writing it.
Right.
Because some of these songs, you'd be like, sir, this song, I don't understand how you even thought about this, but you know. Especially
I am looking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, especially 1999, so.
I'm looking forward to the memorial that they're putting together.
Oh, that memorial needs to be.
It's going to be legendary.
Okay, I'm sorry if we're going to do, like, musical memorials for Prince. We need to just, like, have it just people that he mentored or mentioned that he liked. Don't do what y'all did to Stevie Wonder with those that white boy group it called.
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
I've erased it from my memory.
I don't have them like you did Stevie Wonder. Have these three little white boys trying to sing with Stevie Wonder and they just doing it all wrong. Just all wrong. Like, not saying white boys can't sing with Stevie Wonder, but if you're going to do it. Be right on it. I should not have to logically think when Stevie Wonder is playing the piano. Maybe I should mute this for my own sanity right now. But so I guess before we kind of move on, is there any like last comments that we want to make about Prince?
I'm blank.
Yeah.
Moment of silence.
Right. Moment of silence. So let's do that. So okay, so I guess the next thing is Sleepy Hollow. So Maria, I know you got feels about this.
Am I the only one?
Girl,
but most of mine are relief that I didn't start watching this shit. So
right. Thank you, Melissa, because I stopped watching the minute that she first sacrificed herself going into that tree the first time. I was like, this looked like the beginning of some bullshit. So I'm going to have to wait till the season over before I decide to watch again. So.
I don't really think there's any reason for you to watch again.
When I heard about what happened at the end of this season, I was like, well, I guess I don't have to watch the rest of it.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, if you don't know, I can't imagine how you missed this. Abby died in the last season that just went off in the last episode. Yeah. And it was treated like a B or C character's death. Like, she didn't get a funeral. Her father didn't cry. Her sister, who lost not only Abby, but also her boyfriend the same day, cries a little bit, you know. There's no eulogy. Let's see. She just kind of gives up her life to do this thing. And it's not like heroically celebrated. What else? Oh, so she goes into like this afterlife kind of thing. Her mother isn't there. Her ancestor, who she went back in time to go see, Grace, isn't there.
Who is there?
I mean, not even
the chief, the sheriff. From season one, the old dude, yeah, who's kind of like her father. Yeah,
so he's there. Okay, that makes sense, but not having her mother or her ancestor there?
Right. They're not there.
So y'all know, I feel like they've been trying to cancel Sleepy Hollow for a minute. And this was just another way to... They clearly said, fuck Abby.
Right. So, and like, the whole thing with Ichabod, you know... The will there, won't there, whatever. I was kind of cool with. I liked the tension, right? I'd be happy either way because they're such a great TV couple, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be totally mad either way. I can see people's arguments for saying no, they should really be together. I'm not mad, okay? And I was like, the tension is really cool, whatever. And even when I interviewed Nikki Green and Jennifer Greenwood and all the few of the people from the show, like, they were like, oh yeah, it's about the tension, whatever. I was like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. And I thought, like as this season went on, because as the season went on, other characters were pretty much telling Ichabod that he was in love with Abby. Right? And he never fought them on it. He never disagreed. He never said, well, I don't know. No, he never fought them on it. So I was like, oh, well, this must be happening now. And then, like, the episode before the last episode, there's this thing where she was, like, bringing him donuts or whatever. And I'm pretty sure it was Revolution Donuts. But anyway. And, like, he gets some cream from, like, whipped cream or from, like, one of the donuts or something on his mustache. And Abby gets it off for him with her finger. And I was like, oh, that's pretty close, you guys. So I was like, oh, this must be really happening. And that was it for that episode. Like, for the rest of it, it just kind of, like, went down from there and nothing happened. And that's when I started to get, like, really angry. Like, you have all this, like, intimate behavior between them. You have all these people telling Ichabod that he's in love with her, and he is not fighting that. You have Joe telling him, listen, you need to have a discussion with Abby about your feelings, basically. And Ichabod's kind of like, well, yeah, you're right. But nothing happens. It's one thing to play up a tension between a potential couple. It's another to hang a carrot in the face of your fans and be like, ha, never mind. And then tell the friends that you don't owe them anything. What? I'm sorry. Why was your show on the air? Why was it so highly rated during its first season? If anything, you owe me honest, good storytelling. That's it. Even if you had decided not to go with Ichabod. You owe me to stay true to the premises of the show, which was Abby and Ichabod. At the end of the last show in this last season, it ends with Ichabod being taken away by some government agency to find his next partner. What?
To what?
What?
Yeah, I'm just, you know what, it's just... Like, they really try to do a bait and switch on us. Like, we was going to not notice how they slowly been trying to phase out all the freaking black people in that freaking show. Abby is the whole, her character is the whole freaking reason why I was all in to Sleepy Hollow. The fact that you could have, and, like, honestly, in the first season, Ichabod didn't treat her like a sidekick. They was partners. There was a partnership. There was a trust between them. They had a back and forth. That is what we like. When you have two actors that have that amount of chemistry off the bat, and this is what you do to the show? I'm like, you was given a gift. You know how many shows that it takes maybe a couple seasons, if at all, to get actors to have that much chemistry? Like, seriously.
I remember from the first season, there was a scene with Abby and her sister talking about their relationship and their family. And I got teary-eyed because I could not recall the last time two black women were on scene together, not being viewed by anyone. They were in a private room talking about their relationship.
Yeah, it's,
you know, and
oh my, yeah, they totally ruined this show. Like, the relationship with, like you mentioned, Abby and Jenny, I freaking love that part. And, like, in the second season, they kind of dropped that because, like, Jenny kind of disappeared. And you're like, I'm like, wait, okay, they finally, you know, got through their pain and, you know, that. And they got their relationship as sisters back together. You should be building upon that in the second season. But instead, you gave us the worst witch ever. And even then, the way you treated her storyline.
Oh, like, so horrible.
So horrible. Y'all could have did so much more with her than what you did. Like, honestly, like, not only did they mess up the storylines and the characterizations of the black female characters, also the white female character. Like, you just pretty much reduced... She's supposed to be a powerful witch, and you pretty much reduce her to a damsel in distress all the time.
I couldn't even really be mad, like, at her. It was the way she was written. It was so bad.
It's not her fault that... And, like, they literally made us hate her because they wrote her so badly. And I'm honestly, I think she's kind of glad that they killed her character off because, like...
Don't blame her.
Like, she seems like she's a really good actress, and you give her this crap to deal with? Honestly, and like y'all worked so hard, like to bring in Harley, like the blonde dude. No one cared about
him. Who was only doing what Jenny was already doing? We didn't need him.
We didn't. We could have just brought Jenny back, and all the storylines that he had, it could have been Jenny. It's just like they was trying to force white cis male characters on us. Let's talk about, okay, but you should like these characters more. No, we really don't care about them. We don't. We really don't. I assure you, we don't care about them. And every man that was even looks like they love Abby in some type of way end up getting killed off.
Had to go away for some reason.
Right. I'm just like, okay, so men of color can't last on this show either. So I'm just like...
There's no reason in the world you would have an actor as beautiful as Nicole Bari be on the show for 3 seasons and be kissed one time.
One time.
Are you serious?
One time.
Unless she's like playing a nun.
One time. Like, she's gorgeous. It's not
realistic.
She is gorgeous. But yeah, I'm just getting mad all over again. So
yeah, I thought you didn't have any feels.
Look. My feel was like, fuck this show. Like, I'm so done.
Yeah, there's no way.
That's everybody's feels at this point, is just fuck the show. Like, nobody likes Sleepy Hollow anymore. Like, the writers are constantly getting yelled at on Twitter. Like, constantly. They fucked up pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm done. There's no reason for me to watch. I like Tom Meissen. I like how he plays his character, but that's it. Like, I'm done. I'm going to get the season 1 DVD, and it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I feel bad for Tom Meissen because, like, he didn't really deserve this either. Because he had an actress that was his co-star, who he had a good chemistry with, a good rapport with. Like, even when you see them at panels, you could tell they had good chemistry, and they, you know...
They're actual friends.
Right, they liked each other, you know, it was very friendly. So, I feel bad for him, too. Like, he didn't deserve this either.
It's going to be canceled next year anyway, so.
Yeah, more than likely.
Right, so, anyway, I'm just going to pretend that Sleepy Hollow just had one season, that was it.
And that season finale for that first season was so good.
Yep. So I'm just going to pretend it never went past season 1. So that's how I won't get through this.
Ditto.
Yeah. So anything else about Sleepy Hollow?
How dare you?
Right. How dare you? So let's talk about Doctor Who. So, Melissa, I know you're kind of excited about the new companion?
I am excited is a very strong word. So
okay. Apprehensive, I think, is the best way to describe.
That would be the best word right there. I tweeted before, and I'm going to say it now. The only reason I'm watching this Doctor Who season partly is because I have a friend group that watches Doctor Who, and we have parties, and I'm the only black person there. And so I don't know what it would be like if I wasn't there. It definitely wouldn't be as entertaining. I find my views. And I feel like I need to remind people of Martha Jones, like Dr. Martha Jones. Hello. Okay? So before we get all excited over Bill, calm the fuck down.
Well, that's the thing. That's what everybody keeps looking at. They're like, okay, well, yeah, I want to be excited about the show. Is Moffat doing this upcoming season? I thought he quit after this season.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
I thought because so, too.
If Moffat is not here for her season, she might have... Well, no, because Martha was there for, what's his name? So...
T. Davies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then again, at least as she'll be probably better written as a character because Moffat really likes to make the most boring, uninteresting, flat female characters. Like, it took so long. I still don't like, I keep wanting to call this girl Amy Farrah Fowler. That is not her name. but Clara? I'm Clara Oswin Oswald. There we go.
Oh, Clara. Why
Clara, see... What I'm I never like Peter Capaldi Doctor and Clara never meshed to me. Like they never, I don't believe their friendship at all. But then again, I kind of don't believe Clara with Matt Smith either. I just want cranky old Doctor to have a companion that can be his Donna. That's really what I want.
I was actually thinking, can we just bring Donna back though?
And the thing is, they wrote it so that we can't. Like, that was a huge fuck you to me. Like, if we bring Donna back, it has to be where we're just watching her everyday life, and the Doctor can never know. Or, like, you know, the Doctor can never let her know.
Donna and Martha got so screwed, like, of all of the companions. Donna and Martha were, like, the two best, and they got treated the worst.
They were the best seasons. Like, you have a Donna season, you have a Donna episode... that is about Agatha Christie. Come on! Like, how are we not here for this? But, no. I don't know. I saw the clip. Did you guys see the clip with, her name is Bill? I think her real name is Pearl Mackie.
No, yeah. I haven't watched the clip yet. I haven't.
Okay, so let me just tell you about this clip, guys. So, it's... Here's what annoyed me. I'm just going to start it off. Because I was super excited to see a black woman, but then I was like, oh, wait, let me listen right quick.
Mm.
So it's one of those things where we're going to have to explain what we do. Like, she'll say stuff like, well, why do they say exterminate? It takes longer. Shouldn't they just say kill? And he's like, well, do you want them to take, do you want them to actually be more expedient or something like that? And it was just like, what? And so she just kept making these, like, cracks or whatever, like that I feel like the writers thought viewers would make, or like it's like she's supposed to be their whole it's bigger on the out on the inside type of deal, and I found it annoying. Like I feel like if we're going on a chase and we're being chased by Daleks, I'm not stopping to ask dumb questions. Like we're just gonna keep going.
Like, that sounds like they're trying to make that her quirk.
And I'm not here for it. I'm not. Like, you can't give me black woman Dr. Martha Jones, who knew her shit from jump. Like, she was ready, okay? Like, she had her moments or whatever, but it was never like, oh, you know.
Yeah, but Martha's moments were like, should I be walking around outside during Shakespearean times because racism? I just don't want to get murdered as a black person.
Exactly. Not. I wonder why Daleks say exterminate instead of kill. What are we doing? Da-da-da-da. Like, no, stop talking. And I don't need another quirky female companion. I don't. My heart is still heavy after the Christmas special when I realized that we really aren't going to get River Song and Peter Capaldi just having adventures. Like, That's never gonna happen. So I don't give a fuck is pretty much.
Melissa is officially say, fuck Doctor Who. I mean, I'm still gonna watch it, but like, fuck Doctor Who.
Which is a shame because that Christmas episode was magical.
It was so magical.
Their chemistry was like awesome. I was like, oh my God. And this is the last, oh my God. It's just bittersweet. It's just like another slap into the face of what they did to River Song. Mm-hmm. So I'm just,
and this doctor would be perfect. Like, this would be perfect if River and this doctor got to spend like whatever amount of time together. But the way that Moffat set up that story, they wouldn't have been able to have a good cohesive story if she stayed. Ugh, Moffat, you fucked it up again.
I'm hoping that someone will take an idea of how they got her out the library and put her, like, maybe cloned her body. And so I'm trying to think of the most convoluted way to bring her back. And I know they're never going to do that, but yeah. Never.
Nope.
So fuck Doctor Who.
Fuck them. I mean, I'm still going to watch. And I'm not even saying I'm going to watch every episode. I think that I got invested with the Clara and Peter. I forget. It's like the 12th or the 13th doctor. I got invested. Okay. But then they killed British Jesse Williams. And I was just like, well, you guys, I'm going to be honest.
I don't know where you thought that was going to go, but he was definitely going to die.
I thought we were going to live happily ever after. Like, that's
right.
I was hoping that Clara, when Clara inevitably died, because the whole point of Clara was she was supposed to die. Right? So I thought whenever Clara inevitably died, British Jesse Williams would end up being the new companion. That's what I was hoping for.
I would love that because he would spend every episode saying, fuck you, doctor.
Right, fuck right. You. Oh my God, why did you kill Danny Pink? And then, didn't he have an ancestor? So how the hell did he die, but we have his ancestor who was an astronaut who, I need answers. I need answers. Like, where did this Danny Pink ancestor come from who so happened to look just like him? Where he come from?
Looked like him and had his toy from his childhood.
Thank you.
What are we doing?
That was clearly passed down through, like, millennia.
That was another reason I thought, oh, man, listen, I can't right now. Because I feel like if he leaves that... At first, I thought, okay, he does this shit, he leaves it, and so he'll come back to it. But I was thinking that about the doctor's daughter from years ago that we just never talked about again, right?
Exactly! I'm like, what happened to Jenny?
Didn't Moffat write that episode too?
The granddaughter? Okay. Yes.
We're just never gonna know. So that's great. These are huge holes. These aren't even small holes. These aren't, like, well, actually... type of holes. These are like,
Moffat should never write anything that involves time travel because he doesn't understand how time works
or anything involving a storyline.
I was excited for Moffat when he first came on because I had gotten a little weary of Russell T. Davies. I was like, all right. And I loved the shit out of Blink, so I'm like, all right, here we go.
Well, yeah, everybody was looking forward to it because of Blink was such a good episode.
Moffat is good at doing one-offs. He is not good at carrying a storyline and connecting dots and tying up threads.
Like, okay, I'll give him that he can do, like, not just one-off, but, like, maybe a two-parter. Like, but he can't hold an entire season. It will never be cohesive. In fact, it never been cohesive, so... Yeah, I'm just kind of, you know what? Fuck Doctor Who. Still gonna watch, not regularly.
Moffat is the Ryan Murphy of British TV shows.
Oh yes, my God, that is so
that's
true.
Perfect, absolutely.
Oh my God, here's the right. Like, see, this is why American Horror Story kind of works
because it's the first season every season. It's just the first season of something.
But even then, he kind of just trips when he gets to that middle of the season. You're like, what is going on?
He's great at the setup, but not at the execution. You can tell at what point in every season that he just stopped caring.
Yeah, pretty much. So, anything else for Doctor Who? Anything else we want to talk about?
I like Peter Capaldi as the Doctor. I like cranky old Scottish Doctor. I just wish that Moffat wasn't doing it.
Impeach Moffat.
Okay, also, can I just say I love Missy?
I love Missy too. Okay, so I don't know what it is. It's just such, she's murderous, right? And she's like, I want to kill the Doctor. But she's like, I want to kill him because he's my friend. I don't know why I find that so adorable. It just is.
Right, because she's like, it's just so weird. And she's so sincere about it. And you're like, I don't know if I want you to be my friend, but if I was your enemy, you would want to kill me also. So, but the fact is she wants to kill him in a spectacular way because that's her friend. I'm like, what? It don't make sense. But,
and she gets really worried, like, when he's in danger. She's like, oh, wait, no. No, don't do that. Wait, he has to be safe so I can kill him later. I don't know, I just think it's adorable. Missy, I like Peter Capaldi, Doctor. I like Missy. There are some good things about the show, but hopefully with the new companion, they don't go into terrible, terrible places.
Yeah, exactly. So, so I guess that's it for Doctor Who. And our last topic for tonight is Beyonce and the release of Lemonade. So who wants to go first on their thoughts?
I can't. It's just so good.
Yep.
There's like, what can I say that hasn't already been said? It's just so good.
It's so good. It's so good from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You go through a full range of human emotions watching it. It's just really, it's first of all, it's just beautiful off top. And then you have all these references to other things, other artwork, other texts.
Other songs. She samples Maps by the Yeah, Yeah, Yes.
And I can't stop listening to that song.
It's so good. It's so good. That one and Sorry are my two favorite songs on the whole album. I like 6 Inch too. Even though I really do not like The Weeknd. I don't...
That's everybody's review for 6 Inch. Like, guys, I'm not a fan of The Weeknd.
But I like the song.
But again, not a fan of The Weeknd. Like...
Right. So
I just want to remind you, I don't like The Weeknd, but 6 Inch is great.
So my two favorite is, okay, one is Sorry, and then Hold Up. So those are my two favorite. I think, like, Hold Up is my favorite because the visual album, she had that yellow dress with the smile on her face destroying stuff. It speaks to me. It speaks to me.
That spoke to me as well. Also in that visual in the video, we found out that Hot Sauce is actually a bat, which was great.
You gotta love Easter eggs, and that was fantastic.
Yes, because I was like, it just gives a whole new light to, I got Hot Sauce in my bag swag, because I was like, yes, she got a bat, yes. Sorry, I should not be excited about people getting blunt forced trauma to their head, but whatever. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't, but that doesn't mean you're not.
Right.
I ain't sorry.
Yeah, Sorry, I like that. I like that song. I like the music. Here's the thing. I was minding my own business watching these videos, and Beyonce's so gorgeous, and I'm loving the visuals, and I'm loving the theme, and I'm loving the emotion, and is that Serena Williams right on me? I almost fell out when I saw Serena Williams.
Yes, when she came on, I screamed. And then I remembered, I'm in an apartment and my window's open. I need to not do that. But
Okay, can I just say that I literally jumped up when I saw Serena Williams and she was pretty much the video girl in that part. And I was like, And, oh, and do you see the chair that Beyonce was in? And it looks just like the chair.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. It basically, the video, basically, Beyonce is Serena on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and Serena is Beyonce in the Single Ladies music video.
Yeah.
How did I catch that?
And like,
I was screaming when I saw that.
Did y'all talk about the Oshun imagery?
No, not yet. Mm-hmm.
But
so,
you
can. Well, since you brought it up.
I can't really, other than to say that it was there.
I can't either, because I don't know a lot about it. I knew it when I saw it. Like someone was saying, like the and hold up when she wears the yellow dress, that it calls back to one of the goddesses, and she wears yellow and she smiles when she, as she's taking revenge on people. And I think she is the goddess of, like, what's it, love, intimacy and stuff like that. So
I've got to look all of this up.
I know, I gotta look it up. Did someone do an article talking about all the imagery?
Oh yeah. There's definitely one out there.
So many articles.
But I mean, just like from the beginning where she dives off the building, and I'm just like, yeah, and like, you know, nothing's gonna happen, mm-hmm. You're right? But it was still like a hold your breath kind of moment. Then she hits the water and everything, mm-hmm. So you have all that water goddess imagery stuff as well. And then when she was talking about, you know, the poetry written by Worsen Shire, like, it was just fantastic. And I was freaking out through the whole thing, like, who wrote this?
Someone also mentioned, especially with the imagery of water and stuff like that, how it seems like, especially at the beginning, that it was a birth of a new person.
Yes, absolutely. Because as soon as she opens those doors in that yellow dress and the water is coming out, it's definitely, a birth. So. But when she says the words that she took the pages of the good book and like used them to stem her menses, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, like, just all the imagery. Evelyn called it everyone in their finest doily fashions.
That was funny. Actually, I like that. The Evelyn from the internet's video on YouTube was great. She was like, she just wanted to remind you of one thing. I'm blackity, black.
And like, when they went on to, where she was with the cornrows and everything.
Uh-huh.
And she ends up with, you just might lose your wife. I stood up. And I was like, did they break up? Are they divorced? Was there an announcement?
Yeah, at that point, I was like, what the hell did JC do?
As I say again, he forgot she from Houston. Like, let me remind you.
If Solange didn't remind him in the elevator, that sure as hell did. When he first heard that song, he was like, oh, yeah, I might get fucked up. Never mind.
was in on the videos.
Yeah, he just looked like... He's like, I'm here so I don't get fined. That's what he looked like.
Uh-huh. Well, no, in the parts that he was in the videos, like, you could tell he was like, you can tell Jay-Z is super in love with Beyonce. Like, it's kind of obvious. I don't know nobody really knows what happened. He probably cheated or something else happened.
There was some kind of betrayal.
There was some kind of betrayal, yeah. But you could tell that he was like, no, this is my wife and I love her. And even if I made a mistake, I'm about to fix this shit.
There was some kind of betrayal with him. And there was definitely, you know, parts of what happened between her mother and her father in there.
Yeah.
Cause you know, he had a baby on the side.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is about her mother and father and how his, like, whatever betrayal, anything that Jay-Z may have did kind of trigger that, you know, like, shit, am I doing this am I getting stuck in the same type of relationship that my mother and my father had? Like, so.
I think that, like, there were some remarks about how they're marketing geniuses and they're making all this stuff up for money, da da da. And it kind of annoys the shit out of me.
That annoys me too, especially because I feel like Beyonce is getting to the point where she can, like, be more expressive in her music and things like that. Like, Beyonce definitely has a fan base. Like, she spent a whole lot of time building up this fan base, and it's way bigger than probably she even expected. So now she's at the point where she can kind of play around and do things that she wants. You can tell with the last album that she was being a little bit more expressive and less pristine in her music, because with Beyonce, that's what I noticed that was different from all of her previous albums. All of her previous albums were very clean cut.
Right. And okay, let's be real here. Like, once artists get to a certain point, they lose all kind of fucks. Like, it happened with Prince. It happened with MJ.
Rihanna's doing it.
Right, Rihanna's doing it. Happened with Madonna. It happened with Janet Jackson. You get to a point that they start doing albums and just saying, fuck all y'all, I'm doing this for me.
And the thing that gets me with this whole they're doing this for marketing argument was like, well, yeah, they are in a business, but that doesn't mean what they're doing isn't the art they wanted to do.
Right.
Like, at this point, she can do the art she wants to do and still market it and still be the truth that she wanted to put out. So these things are not in opposition.
And it's
supposed to stay broke forever? Anyway.
I don't know. Even if this is like, I don't know what they call it, I forgot. But if it's a concept thing, you know, where it didn't really happen, that's not why Lemonade is not such a big deal, because Jay-Z probably fucked around on Beyonce. Like, if that's what you took away from it, that's the only thing. Do you?
You're clearly not paying attention if that's what you took away from it. Like,
live your life. Like, live your short-sighted life. It's fine.
Right. Because, I feel that Lemonade is not just about, oh, did Jay-Z cheat on Beyonce, whatever the fuck they want to ride on that hill. It's more of, like, the feelings and experiences that Black women go through when they are being shitted on by people that are supposed to love and care for them. Like, it's not just with Black men, it's with society, it's with your family. It's like, we have to be so many things to so many people that we end up losing ourselves. That just like Beyonce coming through that door and the water flowing behind him, we have to make ourselves into a new person. We have to, you know, like, we are all broken people in some ways, and that we need to find those chinks in our armor and think, okay, I'm not worthless because some parts of me are broken. That this is what's making me into a whole person, and me going through this journey of finding myself, even though I've been hurt and abused and stuff like that, finding my way back to the person that I want to be, the person that I need to be, to make myself better and whole.
Right. There was even one video that started with, I can't remember what the name of this type of art is called, but when you take a broken bowl or a broken vase or something like that, and then you repair it with gold in the cracks, so it's even more beautiful than it was when it was whole.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is one of those things where you have to, like, the album itself is a solid album or whatever, but you don't get the full experience until you watch it, until you listen to the poetry in between the songs that connects everything. And you have to, like, visually take this shit in. Like, I listened to
this bitch said, use her teeth as confetti.
What?
Yeah.
God. We can all take a picture.
Damn. You are
a perfect girl. I was like, okay.
Man.
But I understood. Like, I understood that anger and that rage. I was like, you know what? I have wanted to use a bitch's teeth as confetti several times in my life. I get it, Beyonce. I get it.
And what yes. are you going to do now that you have killed me?
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm going to be looking up a certain writer's work because hearing those poems, I was like, well, goddamn.
Well, I saw her poems a lot on Tumblr before.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pretty sure after this, I saw a lot of people buying her book on Amazon. So shout out to her. I'm so glad that she's got all these sales from that too.
Go, Miss Shire.
Yeah. So.
But I do. I also really appreciate the way Beyonce also goes to the source for a lot of things. Because in one particular video, where it's in black and white and all the women are painted, you know, with the white paint, she actually went to a Nigerian artist to do this Nigerian art.
No. Well, you know that company that's doing the nude underwear for black women?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the costumes on her show, on the Formation tour, they said that she went to them to go get those costumes done for her and her dancers.
Awesome.
And then Washington Shire is a black artist, black poet, so.
Honestly... So I was recording Operation Cubicle before we recorded Nergasm. And so I was talking to Sharif about Lemonade. And he was saying that he appreciates Lemonade, but he realizes that Lemonade is not for him. As a black man, Lemonade was not for him. Because he won't be able to truly, you know, connect in a way that a black woman would. But he still can appreciate and enjoy Lemonade. And I was just happy that, like, we have just an album and a video concept that is pretty much calling out to all black women around the world.
I will, okay. So there was one critique that I filed that I thought was okay. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you guys read it. It was
Ashley Shackelford.
Oh, look at you. Look at you being great. Yes.
Where she was talking about the lack of black fat black femmes in the video.
Yeah, like the lack of black fat femmes who weren't desexualized.
Right.
Because some people, and so I got her article because, you know, you always look for your... Like, when it's something that's supposed to be aimed at you, you look for yourself. It's just what you do.
Right.
I didn't see it. And I was like... It didn't ruin the experience for me. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right. But it definitely would have heightened the experience.
It would have heightened it. But then the internet or Twitter decided that you could... Like, that pissed me off in real life. So, on Twitter... I'm going to just say his name. Dustin. I forgot his
Dustin Ross?
Yeah. So he decided to act like an asshole on Twitter.
Wait, I don't know who that is.
Go ahead.
He does the Friend Zone podcast and he's guest starred on The Read quite a few times.
Okay. Okay.
So he tweeted the article basically like LOL did some shit like that. And so people were like saying, hey, maybe it's not though, and shit like that. And so then his return were just like fat jokes. Like one of them, the first one that I read was that you still got to buy an extra seat on the plane. Like it was just like, whoa. And so anybody that responded, like that did not agree with him, he just was like an asshole too. And then it just became a thing that I saw later on in my timeline where it was like, let's shit on fat black women for looking for themselves in videos because not everything is about you, but make your own shit. And I feel like whenever you find yourself on that side of the argument, maybe you need to calm the fuck down and shut your computer off for a second.
Yeah,
like you ain't on the right side of history, boo-boo. So it's not as though, I don't know, that irritated me. I guess it just irritates me when you find it's like you can't say, I really love this piece of art, this would have made it better for me, without someone being like, what you're trying to say, she got to try to represent everybody. No, bitch. I'm just saying it would have been nice if she had represented me a little bit more. That's it.
And it's not like Beyonce hasn't done it before. Like, Beyonce's backup singer is the Mamas. She put them in several of her music videos. So it would seem, why wouldn't they be anywhere in this movie? Like, it just doesn't, like, the critique makes sense. I don't understand why people were so pissed off about it.
You know, because how dare you critique Beyonce? As if you can't love her and critique her at the same time.
And that's just so fucked up to me. Like, I took it, like, as far as across fandoms, where you find something that you love so much that you can't see the imperfections in, or you can't see how it could possibly be better. And you get so defensive about it that you just become an asshole. And
because it wasn't like she was trying to tear down Beyonce for not doing this thing.
She wasn't. It was a pretty fair, and it was, and she made her point. I think somebody on Twitter decided to try to point out that there were bigger women in the video, and those bigger women, all the examples were grieving mothers, and the whole, like, moment in real life moment captures that she had in there, people on it that she would just, you know, you video on the street.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they wasn't. Okay. See. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I don't agree with that. Well, she did that. That should be enough, because.
Right. And that's what they're trying to say, that should be enough. And Ashley pointed out, Ashley didn't say that there wasn't any, that, you know, this was all skinny women here. No. Just that all the big women in there were desexualized. Like, you have the sexy models, you have the stuff going on, the dancing and all this other stuff, but you don't have, it would have been better if, basically, but it would have been a better experience for her.
And I even remember thinking before that article came out, I was like, man, she should have had Jasmine Sullivan in there.
Yes, and I don't think
she should have had Gabrielle, like,
yes.
Yeah, they weren't ready. Because a lot of the, like, celebrity black women that she had in the video were all black women and black girls who experienced racism and racialized sexism from the media.
Yeah. I'm not saying that she didn't cover a lot, and I think that's what's kind of annoying, that you have to keep saying that she didn't cover a lot to say, right, just when you point out one part that she didn't cover. And I don't know that takes away from it. I know it doesn't take away from it for me. I can't imagine it,
right. But it would enhance the experience for you.
Enhance it, and that's it.
Yeah, it would enhance it to have felt included in that way.
I definitely have to go through my timeline and look at people that I have to unfollow. I know I unfollowed Dustin, like, straight away. I was like, well, nope.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who've been comparing the quote-unquote Bayhav to, like, gamer gators and stuff, and, like, just like, okay, listen.
And the fact that you go after Rachel Ray instead of Rachel Roy, because you didn't take back 2 seconds.
That was based on a typo. A hilarious typo.
It was fun, though. Like, I'm sorry. I don't think they should have gone after Rachel Roy either.
Rachel Roy has a target on her back, though.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they should have gone after Rachel Roy either. But everybody and their mama, including Rachel Roy, knows the phrase is long hair, don't care. She was trying to be cute, and her whole Instagram got destroyed for it.
She got elected. And right. I don't know.
Right. She told on herself.
Basically.
She got campaigned and she got elected.
Well, that's the thing. And then, like, now they're saying, well, actually, no, she didn't have an affair with Jay-Z, blah, 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 blah. They're accusing other people, and Corinne Steffens is now saying that she was Becky with the good hair, which, yeah, okay, Corinne Steffens.
Actually, she wasn't. She was saying that in her life, she was the Becky with the girl hair.
But Corinne, no, that's still no bueno. It's still no bueno.
So, no. Did you read the article that she wrote?
I read it.
So I didn't feel like it's as bad as people are making it out to be. She was just pretty much, it was about her reaction to Lemonade and how she also was in her lifetime, Becky with the good hair, and also in Beyonce's position, and how, like, and how the video pretty much chronicles her emotions during those times when she kind of had one or the other, you know, role. So, like, if people was just, like, I understand why some people kind of jumped on it and just like, why you even talking? But honestly, like, I read it and it wasn't offensive to me. So, I don't know.
My thing was, I didn't want to give it. I was just like, this is clearly for page clicks, and I'm not gonna do it.
I'm just wondering why Kaya was talking.
Here's the thing, though, about that one. Like,
Kaya's whole commentary was weird. Also, goddamn Azalea Banks.
Oh man, did she say something too?
Can we just do a prayer?
Nope, yes. Not today. Not today, Satan. Not today.
Can we go?
And here's the thing. Every time Azalea does something that catches my interest, she always got to say something stupid to make me go, well, never mind. Slay Z, great album. But then she started talking mess on Twitter again. She had gone off of Twitter. When she left Twitter, I was like, cool, I could listen to Slay Z in peace. And then 3 days later, there she was. Talking okay. Mess.
Once again, not today, Satan. I don't even want to give her the time because I'm just like, I can't with her.
She got, because you know how they always make fun of her for being flat chested?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's. Action Branson did it. Yeah, Action Branson said some real slick shit about her being flat chested. Well, I guess she finally got.
Anyway, okay, I'm going to keep it to myself.
She finally, I guess, got fed up with it or just decided she wanted, she got a boob job and she looks so cute, but she just keeps popping off at the mouth. So I can't even look at her and go, oh, look at you. You're cute. I'm glad that you like what you've done with yourself. Nope. Keep popping off at the mouth. Let me just go over here.
Mr. Branson got more. Anyway.
Yeah. I think my whole excuse for Azalea Banks used to be that she's young, but I've been saying that for years now.
And at some she's point, she's not getting younger,
her. Right? Like, okay, but how old are you again now? Like,
and in all honesty, so I'm gonna put this out there: some of the things that people jump on Azalea Banks for, I don't agree with, mostly because of her position as a bisexual woman. And the people that she's getting in arguments with, mm-hmm. and the way privilege and power works within the LGBT communities. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people will jump on her and I'm just like, no. But the other 99% of the time, it's like, why? Why are you talking? What are you doing? But yeah, so I am so disappointed.
So, is there anything else we want to talk about?
Well, going back to the video for Lemonade here, what were you all's favorite visuals?
I already said mine's bat to cars in a gorgeous yellow dress.
I don't know. I really want to say it was... Okay, the all night one, but also just the bus full of women with when they did the poem.
And right before Sorry.
I think I had a few of them. Like I love the whole thing, you know, floating in water in the room there. And then on Freedom with her just singing a cappella on the stage, and then when it comes bursting through with the beat, and then also the picture of all the ladies like on the front porch, mm-hmm. you know, because you have Kavanjane and you have Amandla, And you have, gosh, I can't remember that lady's name, but she's a really famous chef in Louisiana, in New Orleans. And you have Ibeye, I got
to
not
her
name. The two twins who are our band.
Ibeye.
They have the song about the river.
I don't remember their name. From what are you talking about?
It's spelled Ibeye.
Ibeye.
I don't know how you say it. Ibeye, maybe? So I love that.
Okay, what about you, Deanna?
I don't even know if you can hear me anymore.
We can.
I can hear you.
Okay. Honestly, I really, really liked... I liked Six Inch because she had that same hat that she had on in Formation, and I want that goddamn hat. I don't know what I have to do to get that hat, but I want it. I don't know. I can't really just pick a singular thing.
It doesn't have to be a singular thing. Just your faves.
Yeah, I can't pick a singular fave.
It doesn't have to be a singular fave. It can be several.
Then my answer would be the whole fucking thing.
Do you have any favorite songs off the album? Like, what's your top play right now?
For me, it's Hold Up and Sorry.
Well, I guess I have the same answer as Deanna because I said it earlier, so.
Oh, yeah, Daddy's Lessons I like too, but that's because I like country music, so.
I only like country music when it's sung by non-American, non-white people.
That is very specific.
It is.
I know, right?
Because I guess in my head I associate country music with oppression. So, like, Adele has a couple of country songs she's done. I love them, right? Then there's Valerie June, who's black and who does country music. I love her. You know.
So niche. Like, I can't even.
I know.
Spotify playlist.
I think it would mostly be Carl Urban. I think it would be 99% Carl Urban.
Oh, but he's white, though, so no.
Yeah, but he's Australian. Adele's white.
But no, ours is non-white, non-American.
Probably female. Probably female, too. Like, because I just named all female artists.
Probably female. And also white. Not white, but Adele is cool, I guess. I don't know.
Because she still sounds English when she's singing it, so...
Okay.
All right. So I guess it's time to wrap up this episode.
Oh, can I do one more thing before we wrap up?
Sure.
I just want to acknowledge the fact that Game of Thrones is back.
Yes.
And I still don't think Jon Snow is dead. Fuck you.
No, he's not.
You can hold on to that. Hold he's on to dead. That as hard as you want.
He's not dead. I'm telling you, he's not dead.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones in like 2 seasons, and I'm okay with that. I'm sorry, world.
No, it's okay.
All right. So, okay. So let's wrap up this episode of Nagas Noir. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Nagas Noir. You can also follow us ladies on Twitter as well. Check out Jamie at The Way of the Id. Of course, you know who Jamie is because she's Twitter famous. Me at Isis, Kia at The Last Storm, Melissa at Black Girl Geeky, Maria at _Roxy_, and Deanna at 90CoolJ. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.